My dear confraternity members, I have to begin our meeting this month with a big apology, because last month I completely forgot our meeting. It was, as usual, on the third or fourth Saturday. Actually, it was the fourth Saturday last month. And our stained glass windows were being put in, and we had the Mass on Saturday over at the seminary chapel instead of being here. And just with all that going on, I totally forgot. So we normally have the custom at our January meeting of drawing the name of a saint to be an additional patron for the coming year. And so obviously we didn't do that last month. So I put a plate on the communion rail that has names of saints on it, and you can come up after our meeting if you wish and take one and invoke that saint as one of your special saints for this coming year, in addition to your own patron saint. But speaking of the saints, if you read the lives of the saints, one of the things that you notice that runs through the lives of all the saints is how mortified they were, how they practiced penance, how they gave up things. They did things that were very penitential, and some of the saints, extraordinary penances. In fact, you can't read the life of any saint that didn't practice penance. Now, why did they do that? Well, they were drawn to it by the grace of the Holy Ghost, by their love of God. They understood the value of penance. And I mentioned this, and I want to make this our topic this morning, because we begin Lent in about 10 days, a week and a half from now. And Lent, of course, is a very important season for the spiritual life. But we should not only perform penance during Lent, we should perform penitential practices throughout the year. So, again, I thought I would read a couple of sections from the writings of St. Alphonsus Maria Liguori on mortification and penance. And before doing so, let us begin by calling to mind the need for penance. Why do we do penance? Why do we do penance during Lent? Why do we do penance at all? There are many valuable benefits from doing penance. First of all, we think of, well, we want to make up our purgatory in this world so that we don't have to spend a long time in purgatory after we die. By doing penance, we atone for our sins. Also, by penance, we are placating the just wrath of Almighty God, exciting against us by our sins. We are appeasing God. We are earning his favor, his love, his blessings. When we unite penance with our prayer becomes more powerful. We pray for our loved ones, we pray for our family, for relatives who are not Catholic. But our prayers become even more powerful when we add penance to prayer. And it also helps us to pray better. So that's another reason for penance. We also do penance, and this is very important, to help us subdue our fallen human nature. We have within us the remains of original sin. We have a strong inclination to evil. And our problem, as I've so often mentioned, our problem is not a lack of knowledge. Our problem is a weak will. Our will is very weak. But by doing penance, we strengthen our willpower. It's easier to say no to temptation when we do penance. We again strengthen our willpower. Also, by doing penance, we prove our love for our Lord. During Lent, we meditate, especially during Lent, on his passion and death, on all that our Lord suffered. And we realize that by doing penance, we can express our love for our Lord, who showed his love for us by suffering for us. And finally, penance elevates our mind to spiritual things. And we read that in the preface for Lent that we use on all of the masses during the season of Lent that aren't special feast days. And it's a beautiful preface in the Mass. And it says that by penance, we elevate our minds. We can pray better. We can think of spiritual things better when we are mortifying ourselves and doing penance. So that's a brief introduction to why we do penance And as I mentioned, all of the saints practice penance, and many of them extraordinary penances. But let us read what St. Alphonsus Liguori says regarding mortification. The virtue of mortification is twofold, exterior and interior. Exterior mortification consists in doing and suffering what is opposed to the exterior senses, and in depriving oneself of what is agreeable to them, in as far as it is necessary to avoid sin. Every Christian is bound to practice mortification. With regard to those things which we may lawfully enjoy, mortification is not obligatory, but it is very useful and meritorious. For those, however, who are striving after perfection, mortification, even in things that are lawful, is absolutely necessary. As poor children of Adam, we must fight till our dying day, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are contrary one to another, so that you do not the things that you would, St. Paul to the Galatians. So he's talking about here, as poor children of Adam, we must fight to our dying day. Now, you've often heard the saying that we have three sources of temptation: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we like to blame temptations, especially on the devil. And indeed, he tempts us and desires to bring us down. But let us not forget the temptations that come from the world around us, the spirit of the world, which is one of rebellion against God, one of vanity and pride. But also, and this is the primary source of temptation, our own fallen human nature. Father Lassance speaks about the three lives that we all have, the three lives within us. The first life is the natural life. That is the life of the body, where we breathe and our heart beats. That life that comes to an end when we breathe our last. That's our physical life, our natural life. The second life is the supernatural life. And that's the life of sanctified grace that we received at first in baptism and can be recovered when lost through mortal sin by a good confession. That's the supernatural life. That's another life within us. But the third life, Father Lassance calls the life of Adam. And that is the life of tendency towards sin, that self within us, that law, as St. Paul says, I find the law in my members fighting against the law of my mind. So that is the life of Adam, self, that comes to us because of original sin, the sin of Adam and Eve, which was forgiven, the stain was washed away with baptism, but the strong tendency towards evil remains. So that's the third life within us. And again, by mortification, we are subduing and controlling that life. Continuing with St. Alphonsus, it is proper to animals to gratify their senses. It is characteristic of angels to do the will of God. From this, a learned author concludes that we become like angels when we strive to do God's will, and we become like animals when we seek to gratify our senses. Either the soul must subject the body, or the body will make the soul its slave. One or the other is going to win. Accordingly, we must treat our body as a rider treats a wild horse. He draws the reins in tight, lest he should be thrown off. A physician at times prescribes medicines that are very distasteful to the patient, and he strictly forbids injurious foods and drinks, although the patient may desire them. He would be a cruel physician who would be dissuaded from administering medicine because his patient objected on account of its being bitter, and who would allow the sick man to eat and drink what he pleased. How much greater is the cruelty of the sensual man who strives to avoid everything that is disagreeable or painful to his body in this life, and thereby puts both soul and body in the greatest danger of suffering incomparably greater pains for all eternity. This is what St. Bernard calls a false love. You know, there's two ways we can love ourselves. There's a good self-love, which means we do what is necessary to save our soul, so that both soul and body are with God for all eternity. But a false love of self is giving in to all of our inclinations and gratifying ourselves, doing whatever we want. That's a self-love that is bad, that is a false love. Say, again, a quote from St. Bernard, this false love destroys the true love we should have for our body. Such misplaced sympathy is in reality only cruelty, for while we spare the body, we kill the soul. St. Bernard, addressing those worldly-minded people who ridicule the servants of God for mortifying themselves, makes use of the following words. Yes, we are cruel, if you will, towards our bodies when we afflict them with penance, but you are far more cruel towards yourselves when you gratify your sensual cravings. For by so doing, you condemn both soul and body to an eternity of frightful torments. As I mentioned earlier, you cannot read the lives of the saints. You cannot read the life of even one saint if it is an accurate life, which doesn't mention that saint practicing penance, mortification, self-denial, some of the saints even taking upon themselves frightful penances. It says here, Saint Aloysius Gonzaga had poor health. Nevertheless, he was so intent on crucifying his body that he sought for nothing but mortification and penance. One day, another seminarian said to him that sanctity does not consist in penances, but in renouncing our own will and doing the will of God. And St. Aloysius meekly replied in the words of the Gospel, these things you ought to have done and not to leave those undone. Meaning, what you say is true. Conformity to the will of God is sanctity, is the most important thing. But I can't achieve that unless I subdue my body, unless I keep my passions in check. It is certainly true that the world and the devil are great enemies to our salvation, but the greatest enemy of all is our own body, because it is always with us. You can run away, so to speak, from the world. You have religious who went to live in a monastery because they were drawn to the world and they knew that it was pulling them down. And so they fled the world and they went into a monastery. But they couldn't escape themselves from their own body, their own passions, because we carry it with us wherever we go. St. Alphonsus says, while worldly-minded people who are intent solely on gratifying their bodies by the pleasures of sense, souls that love God think only of mortifying themselves as much as they can. St. Peter of Alcantara addressed his body in these words, be assured of the fact that in this life I will give you no rest. Afflictions are your lot. When we are in heaven, we shall both enjoy a rest without end, meaning soul and body. In the same spirit, St. Mary Magdalene of Pazzi acted, and shortly before her death, she could say that she did not remember having ever found pleasure in anything except God. So there's many more wonderful quotations from saints that St. Alphonsus gives here, but keep this in mind, that when we think of doing penance, such as during Lent, it's not just physical penance, experiencing pain in our body, someone taking a cold shower, or doing something like that for penance. You think of something that is painful or mortifying to the body. But there's also many things we could do to mortify our will, to mortify our self-love and our self-will. And so I would like to recommend that you think between now and Ash Wednesday in a week and a half, what am I going to do this year for Lent? And then you write it down. Make a plan for yourself, a penance schedule, as it were, a of what we're going to do to make a good Lent. And when we do that, we have to make sure we avoid the extremes. The one extreme is those who are afraid to do any kind of penance. They go, oh, I don't want to damage my health. And they end up doing almost nothing. A little pinprick. The opposite extreme, however, is just as much to be avoided. And that is someone who is all fervent before Lent. Okay, I'm going to give up this, I'm going to give up that, I'm going to do this, and say all these prayers. And they choose so much that after 2 or 3 days of Lent, maybe even a week, is just too much, and then they give up everything. They get discouraged. So let's be reasonable and come to the happy medium between the two extremes. But be careful not to do very little. Now, yes, our daily duty is our first penance. I tell the seminarians, first penance is you're a student. Your daily duty to study, to do your homework, etc. And our daily duty, depending on what it may be, may limit what we can do in the way of penance. But let's be careful to not just do almost nothing, very little. Because penance is very valuable for the soul. And of course, Lent is not the only time that we should do penance. St. Alphonsus says, count that day wasted on which you did nothing to mortify yourself during the whole day. You didn't die to self at all. Count that day as lost. So that pertains to the whole year. Even the Easter season, Christmas season. We always have to mortify our self-will and our self-love. But let us especially remember the value of penance and resolve during this coming Lent to dedicate ourselves to performing practices of penance, to mortify ourselves, to do penance, that we might grow spiritually.